so glad you decided to worship with us here at Crystal River Church of God Online, where we want you to find focus for living. You can also connect with us through Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, and make sure to subscribe to our YouTube channel for video messages. Now, an inspiring message from our lead pastor, Ronnie Reed.
But I want to talk to you about why not change. Why not change? What's stopping you from changing? Why not change? Well, I like the things the way they are. Well, let me just tell you this, that no matter if you like them or you don't like them, things are going to change. Amen? You ever get a good haircut and you're like, man, I love that, but it doesn't stay that way. It changes. Amen. I got fit, physically fit for one day, and it didn't stay there. It changed. Amen. My chest sank to my drawers. I got chest or drawer disease. And it just went down. Amen. Hair that don't turn gray is turning loose. But anyway, let me move on. Why not change? In the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 11, it says, he who observes the wind. Oh, I like it the way you got it. Yeah, that's what I wanted. If you wait until the wind and the weather are just right, you will never plant anything and never harvest anything. Now, some of us pray that way. You know, you get up in the morning, you have your cup of coffee, getting ready to pray, do my devotion. Got to get everything just right, my pen, my paper. Got it over here, okay. And getting ready to pray, and you put your hands together. Oh, I got a hangnail. Then you got to go do all your nails. Then you cut one. Well, you can't just cut one. You got to cut all of them. And then if you're a woman, oh, now I got to schedule an appointment at the nail salon. Oh, my gosh. And then you go to the nail salon. Oh, my toes are bad, too. So then you got to get a pedicure. And so it just takes you off task. So if you wait for everything to be right, then you're never going to plant and you're never going to harvest. How many's done this? I'm starting my diet Monday. A Monday is still coming. Or, you know, well, I'm going to get through Christmas season and I'm going to start eating right. And then you get through Christmas and you're like, well, Valentine's is right around the corner. And I know I'm going to get some candy. You get through that, well, what else? Well, bless the Lord. You know I can't. I'm not going to be able to eat right on St. Patrick's Day, so I might as well hold off till then. And next thing you know, you're half the year into it, and you still haven't started eating right because we wait for everything to be right before we do it. And some of us go, well, I'm going to get my heart right with God when I get everything over here right. When I get my life where it needs to be, then I'm going to give my heart to Christ and start living for Jesus. You ain't ever going to get there, bro. You ain't ever going to get there. Let me tell you this. God ain't afraid of your scars. God is not afraid of where you are. God is not afraid of who you are and where you've been. In the Gospel of St. Luke, chapter 18, reading from the New King James Version, it says, but when he heard this, I want to go a little bit further back. I'm sorry. I told you wrong. I want to go to verse 18. Verse 18, and we're going to read through verse 27. My bad. It says, now a certain ruler asked him, saying, good teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? So Jesus said to him, why do you call me good? No one is good. No one is good but one, that is God. Well, that's a statement right there, isn't it? See, that's why I tell people if they say good about me, if you see anything good in Ronnie Reed, it's because of Jesus Christ. Now, if you see anything bad, yep, it's because of me. So, excuse me. So Jesus said to him, why do you call me good? No one is good but one, that is God. You know the commandments. Do not commit adultery. That means don't be sleeping with your neighbor's spouse, right? Do not murder. That means don't be making them sleep with the fishes. Do not steal. Don't be taking stuff that ain't yours. Which also goes back to somebody else's wife. But anyway, do not bear false witness. That means don't be lying. Honor your father and mother. And he said, all these things I have kept from my youth. He said, I've done those. Now, I wanted you to point out something, that Jesus named the five physical things that you could do out of the Ten Commandments. The other have to do with your spirit. But these things you can physical. Oh, yeah, he said, I've done all this. And so when he said, but yet you still lack one thing. Sell all that you have and distribute to the poor, and you will have riches or treasure in heaven, and come follow me. See, now, people read that and they go, oh, I can't have money and be saved. Yes, you can. You can. But you got to be willing to forsake it all to follow him. All right? You know, there was a guy that came up, and I'm not getting into to theology right now, but there was a guy came up in a men's prayer meeting, goes, well, I have taken a vow of poverty. That ain't scriptural. You know, you just don't want to work, dude. That's your problem. You're just lazy. Get your lazy behind up. Anyway, let me move on. But when he heard this, he became very sorrowful, for he was very rich. Verse 24. And when Jesus saw that he became very sorrowful, he said, how hard is it for those who have riches to enter the kingdom of God? For it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. The eye of the needle is not the eye of the needle like you and I think about. But it was a place, it was a gate that the camel had to completely be unloaded. That he had to unload all of his burdens in order to get through the eye of the needle. You and I have to be willing to be unburdened in order to get through the eye of the needle. Next verse says this, and those who heard it said, and I can attest, can you ever been, well, Lord, who can be saved? Who can do this? And then here's what he said. But he said, the things which are impossible with men are possible with God. Can I just tell you that you can't serve God without Christ? You can't live a life that is pleasing to God without having God in your life. You can't be good enough. You just can't do it. You need the Lord. Have you ever met somebody who's not happy unless he or she is going through some kind of massive change? Man, I haven't met too many people like that who just love change. I used to. There used to be a man. Or there, he's still around. His name is John Maxwell. He would say that people who don't like change are not leaders. Leaders, he said, love change. But then a few years later, he came out with this, and I think it's true, because I didn't think I was a leader, because I'm like, well, I don't like change. But here's what he said afterwards. He said, leaders don't like change unless it's their idea. Yeah, okay. You know, if I'm going to change something, I want it to be my idea. Out of everybody's armpit, if I got to smell one of my, I'd rather smell my own. Come on, somebody. So everybody's got an opinion. Everybody's got an opinion, and most of them are like armpits. They all stink. But if I got to go with one, I'd rather go with my own. So if you're going to change, I would rather change with it being my idea. However, there are few individuals in this world who thrive on uncertainty. There are few people who thrive on feeling insecure. But there are few people who love having their routines disrupted. My father and his wife, Teresa, had a routine. Now, they live in Mobile, Alabama, which is 7.5 hours away. And we drove up there, and my wife said, are we going to their house? I go, no, they should be at Walmart right now. Drove to Walmart, pulled into the parking lot of Walmart, started walking in, and there's my dad sit in the little cafeteria of Walmart, sipping on some coffee while his wife was getting the groceries. Now that's a routine. That I can come 7.5 hours away and find them at Walmart. That's a routine. But most of us don't like our routine being disrupted. But I think it's safe to say that most people resist change every now and then. but especially when it affects an idea, a position, or a practice that is near and dear to them. But I want to help you understand why most people, or how most people think about change, and let's see if we can do a little change. I'm going to scare you right now, because I told you I don't have a lot of notes, but I got 6 points. Number one is this. I got a lot of points, but anyway, they speak for themselves, a lot of them. Most people change just enough to get away from their problems, but not enough to solve them. They changed, you know, how many people have you met, don't point at them, who got Jesus just to get out of their problem, but not enough to solve the problem? Lord, listen, I remember being on a ride at a fair one time quite a few years back, and it was going round and round, and oh my Lord, I was getting sick. And I said to the Lord, Lord, oh Jesus, if you let me get off this thing, before God in heaven, I'll never get back on it again. And I got off of it, and bless God, I ain't ever got back on it again. We was at Disney World not too long ago. My kids and wife said, let's do the teacups. I go, y'all go ahead. I'm not going to do that. My wife got on there and forgot that my daughters are grown now. They can make the teacup go pretty fast. By the time she got off there, I thought she was praying it. But here's the deal. You know, we move away from the problem just to get away from it, but not enough to solve it. They change just enough to escape. And as soon as they escape, they go, oh, I'm okay now. How many people that you started out, you got trouble in your marriage, and you went to marriage counseling one or two times, and it got better, and you quit? We do it every day with, how many has medicine in your cabinet right now that you never finished because you got to feeling better? Mm-hmm. Your whole drug cabinet is just a drug lab waiting to be opened. I'm okay. I don't have to do anything else. But unfortunately, doing this is like painting a rusty car. That it looks good for a little while, but the rust begins to come through the paint. And what you thought was beautiful begins to not be so good. You know, that's why people come to Jesus, right? You get into trouble, and sometimes the people come to Jesus, but they don't go on to deal with the rust of the car. They don't go on to deal with the other issues of the car. And so they look good for a little while, but eventually it begins to come to the surface because you didn't go further on. You changed enough to get away from the problem or the situation, but not enough to solve the problem. Sooner or later, the paint's going to begin to wear off, and the rust only got worse while you was trying to cover it up. And that's why people say, well, I tried that Jesus thing, but it didn't work. No, baby, you didn't try it all the way. You just did it just to feel better. You got enough of Jesus just to do a little bit better. But if you'll get all the way into Jesus and let him do in you what you cannot do for yourself and continue to walk with Jesus, he said, it is joy unspeakable and full of glory. Hallelujah. Point number two is this. Most people want to change their circumstances to improve their lives. Well, Pastor, what's wrong with that? Nothing. Most people want to change their circumstances to improve their lives. However, the next slide is a little bit better. Instead of changing themselves to improve their circumstances. Pastor, I want my circumstances to change. Well, then change. See, the problem is we're working on the circumstances instead of working on us. You know, I love it when Jesus works on my bank account. Come on, somebody. Yeah. I love it when Jesus works on my wife. Yes, Jesus, just do a work in her. Oh, yes. Lord, you touch her before I touch her, God. Yes, Lord. I love it when he's working on my children. I love it when he works on my car. Come on, somebody. But, man, I don't like it too much when he works on me. But the common denominator of all of my situations and all of my circumstances is me. And the problem is I don't get Jesus to work on my circumstances. I get Jesus to work on me, and then I change the circumstances that are around me. It is a domino effect that when you change, everything around you begins to change. Watch and see what happens. If you get really, truly on fire for God, there'll be some people who will distance themselves from you because it's making them feel bad. Yeah. You won't get as many phone calls as you once did. Let's say you came to me and asked me for advice. How to change the people in your life? Well, I'm happy to offer advice, but not so you can change somebody else, but so that you can change yourself. If I give you advice, I'd like it to change you, because if I change you, the people around you will change too. Listen, I'm telling you, I know what I'm talking about, because there was one time about almost 20 years ago now that my wife and I were having marital trouble. She was acting up or something. I don't remember exactly what it was, but I'm sure it was her fault. And we were having trouble, and I would pray for her, Lord, and I would pray, God, touch her, God. Lord, you got to change her. Because my Lord, I'm the pastor of a church. I got to keep my marriage, and I can't divorce her and still be the pastor, so I may have to kill her. Lord, just you got to touch her. And you know what? And the Lord said to me one day, well, why don't you pray about changing you? And I said, like every man would, because I'm not the problem. She's the problem. Oh, all you men are like, amen. Y'all said it under your breath. I feel it. You scared to say it out loud. Yeah. Oh, Gypsy said, I said it out loud because you single. That's why. And the Lord said, why don't you pray about yourself? I said, she's the problem. That's the reason. And I said, all right. And I began to pray for myself, for God to change me, and something miraculous happened. She began to change. Why? Because you affect, people come to me and say, Pastor, I need advice on my marriage. And I go, okay, well, where's your spouse? Well, they won't come. All right, well, let's talk about what you can change. Well, I'm not the problem. Well, they're not here. Let's talk about you. Right? See, the rich young ruler wanted to change his life, but not to the extent. He just wanted to change his circumstances, not himself. He just wanted to get eternal life, but not change anything around him. It would be cool, and let me just tell you, you can't do it. I wish I could do everything I want to do and still go to heaven. I know preachers who go, I do everything I want to do because Jesus took the want to out of me. I must not be saved then. Because there's every once in a while, I want to take matters into my own hands. There are times that I want to deal with the situation. Come on, somebody. Somebody cut me off in the traffic. I'm driving a big old truck now. I could just run them over. Right? But I can't do that. Why? Because it ain't Christian-like and it ain't legal. People do what they see. You want other people to change around you, well, then you be the change. You be the change. Number three is this. Most people do the same thing the same way and expect different results. That's the clinical definition of insanity, man. I'm going to do the same thing. It ain't working for you. I'm gonna use quotation marks. I've had Christians tell me, well, this thing ain't working. Well, what are you doing? Well, I'm doing what I've always been doing. Well, in order to get what you've never had, you may have to do something you've never done. And can I tell you that coming to church helps? All right, it helps, but it doesn't do it because church can't change you. Only Jesus can change you. However, if Jesus is in you, you ought to come to church. Because that's why we're here, is to improve ourselves. We want Jesus to be better and bigger in our lives. I don't come to church so that my life will be worse. I come so that I may have life. And Jesus said that I can have it more abundantly. He said the enemy comes to steal from me, to kill me, to destroy things around me. But Jesus comes that I may have life and have it more abundantly. Does that mean that I don't ever go through trouble? I don't ever go through trial? No, absolutely I go through those things. But here's the difference. When Jesus is when I have Jesus in my life, I know that as I walk, he walks with me and he leads me and directs me and guides me. And even though I walk in the valley of the shadow of death, I don't have to fear no evil, for he is with me. His rod and his staff, they comfort me. Now this rich young ruler just wanted eternal life but didn't want to do what it took to get there. Well, Pastor, did God really want it? Is that what I got to do, is sell everything I have? No. But you got to be willing. Lord, nothing is more important than you. See, the rich young ruler just wanted to get somewhere, but God wants to change you. Number four is this. Where am I at? Number five. Most people are unwilling to pay. Oh, thank you. Most people are willing to change, not because they see the light, but because they feel the heat. Let me tell you, I've been on this little marriage kick for this morning and a little bit about change. Because how many knows that when you got married, you had to do a little bit of changing? Yeah. You know, before I got married, I had my own place. Before I got married, there wasn't an issue with my clothes being on the floor. What an issue. There wasn't an issue with me. There wasn't an issue with me putting my important papers in the stove, in the oven. Well, I never used the oven, so first time she cooked, she burned up some of my important papers. Come on, somebody. Before I got married, I didn't know I had to hang a towel up when it was wet. Right? I mean, before I got married, I didn't know I had to have more than two towels. Yeah. And then she says, "Well, you got two towels? That's not enough." I go, "What's wrong with it? I use this one today. I put that over there by tomorrow to be dry. I'll use that one that's already dry. The next day, that one's dry. I'm good. Just keep swapping them out. Cost effectiveness." Amen. What about washing your socks? Well, hey, Dollar General, you can get a whole pack for a dollar. I wear a pack for 6 weeks, 6 days. You know, one each day, and then just throw it away and go buy a new pair. What's the issue? I wasn't quite that bad, but it's still. But I'm making the point. But when I got married, all of a sudden, my house wasn't decorated, apparently, good enough. Now, I don't like a lot of things on the wall. My wife likes a lot of stuff on the wall. So we compromised and had a lot of stuff on the walls. It's called marriage 101, baby. Amen. So what are you saying? I'm just telling you that you, most people don't change. I didn't change the way that I do things. Not because I saw the light, but because I felt the heat. Right? When my wife started going, "I'll tell you one thing." I mean, she ain't even black and started to tell you right now. She'd shake her head like she had some weave. "I'll tell you one thing right now." Hey, calm down, baby. Your name is Sherry, not Shirahi. Come on, you know I'm telling the truth. And so I felt the heat, and so I had to change. Amen. I didn't start losing weight because I seen the light. My brother started dying. I felt the heat. Are you listening to me? So some of us keep doing the same thing and you don't want to change until you feel the heat. But whatever it is that causes you to change, you need to begin to realize that, "Lord, I want to change not so what I can get, but because of who I am. I wanted to change me so I can affect the rest of my life." Change is uncomfortable. Change is unsettling. Sometimes it's downright painful. But in the long run, the alternative is often much worse if you don't change. I heard this phrase, and I love it. I didn't put it on the notes. But if you don't change, you wind up in chains. What's my next one? Number five. Most people are unwilling to pay the immediate price of change. How many knows that, man, to change, you have to overcome inertia. You know, I've been away from Mobile, Alabama. I've lived here for 25 years. I've been away from Mobile for 30 years. I've been away from Mobile for 33 years. But as soon as I go back to Mobile and I'm around my brothers, I don't know what happens. I start talking like this. My accent gets real deep. I call everybody boy. Hey, boy, what you doing? Hey, boy, what's up? That's what we call my brothers now. Hey, boy. I'm 50 years old. I ain't no boy no more. Hey, boy. And that's, I just revert back to. Because what you know that is easy, you revert back to. So change, you have to pay an immediate price to begin to change where you are. You know, if you don't know Jesus, the immediate price is you got to say, Lord, I need you. And he comes into your life and begins to do a work in your life. Now, let me go a little bit further. That most people are unwilling to pay the immediate price of change. Therefore, they do not change and pay the ultimate price. And everybody wants to change when you hit rock bottom. Why don't you feel the heat, see the light before you ever hit the rock bottom? You know, people come to me, oh, Pastor, my marriage is in trouble. Why didn't you come to me when your marriage had a cold, but now it's got gangrene? Why didn't you seek help when you had a cold instead of waiting until your own death's door to come to somebody and ask for some help? Change is uncomfortable. However, not all change is good. You don't change for the sake of change. You change because you see a place you would rather be. Now hear this principle. You'll never leave where you are until you see a place you would rather be. Some changes are based on bad ideas. But can I tell you, God's idea is always good. And his idea is to help you and to prosper you and to have you and to cause you to have a good life. Can I tell you, the more that I use this book, the more that I govern my life, the more that I adhere to the teachings of this book, the more the less miracles that I need and the more blessings that I have and the more happy that I am, because I can tell you that his book, his instructions will lead you not only to righteousness, but it will lead you into joy. And in joy, you can be happy. You can have joy even when you're unhappy. Can you say amen? Glory to God. Some changes are based on bad ideas. Others are self-serving to the people who enact them. Now listen to this. Number six is this. Most people see change as a hurtful thing that must be done. Well, if you're going to make heaven your home, if you haven't asked Jesus into your life, then you've got to do that. But listen, when I got saved, man, let me just tell you this. I got saved because I didn't want to go to hell. You know, you hear people, you know, people that got saved. Oh, I just love Jesus. I didn't love Jesus when I got saved. I was thankful for what he did. I got saved because I didn't want to go to hell. And some people say, well, that won't last. Well, it, you know, 30-something years, it's lasted. Because once I accepted him into my life and began to change my life, and he began to change my life through him, then I grew to love Jesus. Because I begin to realize what he had done for me. My youngest daughter, and she'll be in the 11 o'clock service, but she said to me one day, she said, Dad, she said, I know all the older people love, y'all don't get on her. I know all the older people love Amazing Grace, but it really doesn't do a whole lot for me. And I said, you put me in there with the older people? And she smiled and said, well, yeah, because you like Amazing Grace. And it's a pretty song, but it really doesn't do a lot for me. I said, because you haven't realized how much grace you've needed. But my God, when you understand that it's only the amazing grace of God that caused a wretch like me to be able to see and to come to Christ, for him to do in me what only he can do in me, that's why I love the song, because it still speaks to me, because I once was blind, but now I see. Hallelujah. So most people see change as a hurtful thing that must be done instead of a helpful thing that should be done. Why do you change? Because you need to. And can I tell you something? And let me talk to everybody who calls themselves a born-again Christian. Because some of you right now are going, well, you're really not talking to me because I'm saved. No, you're the exact person I'm talking to. Because what happens is we get saved and think, okay, we're good. We don't have to do anything else. No! Go on. Man, all you did was land on the beach. You know, we're in a war here, and if you're saved, all you did was you got to the beach. But now you need to go into the country and possess what God said you can have. You know, well, what's wrong with living on the beach? You're going to die there, that's what. The tide's going to come in and take you on out. So go on into the rest of the country of your salvation and learn all that God has for you. Well, Pastor, I can't do this. With man, these are impossible, but with God, all things are possible. Good preaching, Pastor. A man by the name of Max Dupree said this: we cannot become what we need to be by remaining what we are. You cannot become what you need to be by remaining what we are. If you decide today to change, if you decide today to change the way you think about change, why is that so important? Because when change is successful, you look back and you call it growth. I'm going to say that again. When change is successful, you look back and you call it growth. Because you cannot grow and not change. You can, you know, to God, hopefully, unless something's really wrong with you, if you're in your 20s, 30s, 40s, you're probably not still wearing a diaper. Thank God. You know, I'm not discounting. Some people still do have to, you know, whatever. But on the normal, because you grew out of that, hopefully. You know, by the time you're 16, you ought to quit wetting the bed. At least. You grew out of that. But yet, for some reason, we think that when we get saved, we quit growing. No, man. We just began. We were born again. And if we got born again, then that means that's the beginning. We start to grow from there. Where are you at with your walk with God? You may say, preacher, I don't know. I've never asked him to come into my life. Well, I'm going to give you the opportunity here in a moment. But I want to go beyond just asking him to come into your life. I want you to ask him to be the Lord of your life, which causes change to happen in you. And you begin to live your life not based on what daddy said or mama said or great grandma said, but you begin to live your life based on what this says, the Word of God. We will live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Many of you know this verse I'm about to give you. But in case you don't, in the book of Proverbs, chapter 16, verse 2, all the ways of a man are pure in his own eyes, but the Lord weighs the spirits. Commit your works to the Lord, and your thoughts will be established. The Lord has made all for himself, yes, even the wicked for the day of doom. Everyone proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord. Though they join forces, none will go unpunished. When a man, verse 7, when a man's ways please the Lord, he makes even his enemies at peace with him. Man, I want your ways to please God. I want my ways to please God. Would you bow your heads with me this morning? Every head bowed, every eye closed. If you're in this place this morning, Spirit Life Team, begin to come. If you're in this place this morning and you don't know Jesus, I give you my word, I will not embarrass you. But if you don't know Jesus, I want to invite you to ask him to come into your life, to forgive you of your sin. And according to Romans 10:9, you shall be saved. If that's you, would you just lift up your hand? You can put it right back down. I see those hands. God bless you. I see those hands. God bless you. I see that hand. God bless you. Everybody in this room, would you pray this prayer? Heavenly Father, I ask you to come into my life. Forgive me of my sin. And start the change in me. Help me to be the man or woman that you've called me to be. Help me to exact change around me, because you're changing me. And in the name of Jesus, I will never be the same again after today, right now. Amen. Come on, give Jesus a hand. Hallelujah. Come on, stand to your feet this morning. Hallelujah, Jesus. Proverbs 14:12 says, there is a way that seems right to man, but the end is the way of death. The way is the end of destruction. You can't do what's right in your own eyes. You got to do what's right in this book, man. If you need prayer, you want prayer, I'm going to open up the altars here in a moment. If you gave your heart to Christ, let me encourage you that there is a sign up out front that you sign up for our focus track that will help you get discipled, that will talk to you about the four essentials of serving God, that will tell you about the DNA of our church. Let me encourage you to go to those classes. They're every Sunday morning at 9 o'clock. There are four of them. You can start whenever you want to. If you miss one, just pick that week back up. Because we want you to get discipled. You started. You landed on the beach. Those of you that got saved, you landed on the beach. Now let's go in and possess the land. Let's don't just live on the beach, man. Go in and possess. See what God has in store for you. And go from there. If you need prayer or you want prayer, our Spirit Life team is here to pray with you. And they're going to lead us in this song. And I'm going to pray. And if you need prayer, come. If you don't, then you'll be dismissed. But God bless you. Can we give a hand again to those who gave their heart to Christ? Man, we're proud of it. We're so glad about it. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Father, thank you. Thank you for those that gave their heart to you today. I give you thanks and I give you praise. And Lord, I ask you for us to be able to look and recognize that we can change because we can do it with you. All things are possible with you. Lord, can a tiger change his stripes? Can a zebra change his stripes? They can't, but you can. Lord, I don't care how long we've been living in a certain way. With you in our life, we can be changed by the power of your Holy Spirit. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen and amen. God bless you. If you need prayer, come now. You're dismissed. Hallelujah.
Thank you for joining us today. We hope you are blessed by listening to this message and invite you to join us at our Crystal River campus. We meet for service on Sundays at 8:30 a.m. and 11 a.m. Our midweek service and youth service is on Wednesday night at 7 p.m. We're located at 2180 Northwest 12th Avenue in Crystal River, Florida.